Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where were we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt Ends Break.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under the
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Epa! Epa!
Happy Thursday, everybody. You know what a Thursday means? That means it's a Magic Hat Thursday. It's coming up 1 hour from now. We'll cut them up, put them in the hat, pull them, 1 hour from now. We'll get to the Magic Hat. Look forward to that every single week. Here is a glimpse at what's to come over the next 2 hours. Other than the Magic Hat, we do have NFL preseason games tonight. Yeah, buddy, you bet your ass I'll be watching. Two of them, both of them are on TV. So we'll get to let a little bit, some starters in the lineups for each team in the final hour. Over the next 30 or so minutes, 40 or so minutes, I got a ton of NFL stuff that we have not talked about yet. Mm-hmm. And then one more college story to throw at you. Is there a team and a player out there that we are sleeping on? Are you sleepy on them going into the year? And I will explain. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit.
You know, one thing I forgot to mention yesterday that I was pointed out to me is on the Walter note, he also is like the owner of the entire women's league.
Which women's league?
The PW.
The women's soccer league?
No, the softball league.
Oh, the new softball league.
Yeah.
With our Cascade, right? Is that our team?
Yeah.
The Cascade?
The Athletes Unlimited Softball League.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the...
He's the owner of that league?
The AUSL.
Yeah, so now people are thinking that because of this, they might have people buy different teams.
Oh, okay.
So you actually have multiple owners.
Interesting.
Whereas I think he's funded the whole thing.
Right, he's the bankroll guy.
Yeah, so it's just interesting to think about the fallout of all of what's going on with the Lakers and Dodgers. There's also a sports league that just started.
He owns a chunk of Chelsea. He already sold that, too, or he's
he
in the process.
To.
Yeah, he's 13 or 14%, I think, somewhere in there.
That might raise the most dough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, man.
How about, by the way, Bezos is buying into Premier League Soccer?
Is that who bought it from him? I didn't follow that.
It's I don't know if
I thought he... Was he buying into Liverpool?
Liverpool. Cool. He bought into Liverpool.
Interesting. We've always said about him he's going to own a team at some point. He hasn't bought one in America.
I don't know why we've said that. I think it's just about him having money.
Yeah.
I don't know what his real sports
interests are. I still wish
are.
His ex-wife bought our team. She would have been cool.
Is that Mackenzie Scott?
Mackenzie Scott, I think is her name.
Yeah.
A lot of money, just giving it all away.
Well, she gives it away, but she makes like double like within
yes.
an hour. It's
you make
crazy.
It all back in the next year.
Well, yeah,
like,
when you have that
returning.
Much and yeah. you just, you know.
It's constantly it's just working
constantly.
Itself up. Yeah.
You know what wouldn't have been an issue? Motor center funding. Sure, what do
exactly.
you need? All right, here you go. $800 million? Sure, why not? Go for it.
Right, $600 million?
Yeah.
That's
what?
It?
I make that in a Tuesday, man.
I was going to say.
There's actually good rich people out there?
What?
No way.
What?
No.
One NFL story. We did not get to much yesterday, just kind of danced around it. We did mention it a little bit, but I saw an interview of the head coach of the team involved, and I got to tell you, man, it some alarm bells went off in my head because I have never seen the guy look like that because usually his personality is this.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Jim Harbaugh went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And the open of the interview, they were like, Jim... What's wrong, man? He was like, well, my guy's down. Because Tyler Biadasz, their starting center, got rolled into it. There was a defensive lineman essentially thrown into him.
Yeah.
Into the side of his leg. And they are fearful of it's an ACL and other ligaments. And stop me if you've heard this story before. A Charger starting offensive lineman has gone down before the season even...
significant knee injury.
Right, officially begins. Now, Harbaugh hinted at and said, hey, he's going to explore every option, and it doesn't necessarily mean that his season is officially over as of now because we don't know all the details yet. But it was alarming to see coaches sometimes wear their emotions on their sleeve. He seems like a guy who usually masks it and gives you like next man up. We love the team we have. There was a real moment of honesty from him of like, yeah, that was a big offseason move for us. Bozeman, their center last year, was literally graded the worst center in the NFL. He was horrible.
Yeah. So they drafted a center with their second round draft pick. Like, they're going to play him at guard, and now he might be the guy.
And now you got to rotate chairs, and your starting center is probably out for the year, but we don't know that for certain yet.
I mean, it's easily the worst part of camps, right? Multiple teams going through devastating injuries yesterday. It's also to me like I'm with you in the how his nature usually is. It's next man up mentality. It's football. Got to be tough. We hope he recovers. All that.
Let's give a high five.
I think going through last year was so much harder than we know, and we know it sucks to lose two tackles, but to lose those two guys and watch your offensive line have the worst center in the league pair that with your quarterback taking hits and getting hurt.
Right. Broken hand half the year.
I'm not saying I'm out. I just he's got an interesting season as a head coach. Does he not?
Who's got more pressure on him, Harbaugh or Herbert?
I think it's more the question of, like, who's got more pressure on him, Harbaugh or Harbaugh? One was this savior for the Giants, and I've kind of been thinking for a couple years, I don't know how good John Harbaugh truly is. A lot of people buying in on it. Jackson Dart has no awareness in the pocket, takes huge hits. His running back wants to do backflips after shattering his leg. Like, I don't know if I would trust a lot of that's going on. Maybe it will be good.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of this is, like, I think that was a lot like, to me, it's so far felt, and I know it's early, it's felt very Lincoln Riley USC. That happened, and we were like, hey, this dude wins everywhere. He got to a Super Bowl. Stanford became great. Mm-hmm. Look at Michigan winning the national championship, even though they cheated. And it's kind of just been what it was with, what's his nuts? Who was the guy before? Staley.
Yeah, Brandon
Staley. So, like,
Staley.
It's felt a little better, but not been all that much better from a results-based situation.
Yeah, they've at least been in the playoffs both years, but the season has ended very unceremoniously.
I mean, look, the answer to your question is easy. It's not even a debate. It's Harbaugh. Herbert's not getting cut. Herbert's not being
traded.
No,
that's not the point. Yeah, and Harbaugh's not going to get fired.
Herbert's going to be back next year with Madison Bear maybe pregnant. Like,
yeah.
Jim Harbaugh is a great all-time football coach. He was one of my favorite coaches with my team. He was fun to watch at Stanford. I loved that he went back to Michigan. But so far, and I think you've seen this with some of the coordinator hires, I think this is a pretty pivotal season. Not that I think he gets fired, but you kind of need to see this Harbaugh bump manifest itself better than it has so far.
It's interesting because I don't disagree with anything you're saying. My point would be, I don't think either of them are gone next year. Like, if they're a playoff team again this year, even if they disappoint, like, Dean Spanos is not going to fire Jim Harbaugh. He'll be back.
Tend
next
to agree
year.
With you.
And Herbert has a contract. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
He's the face of the franchise. It's more of like, this is what makes the Chargers so complicated, is that I do think Harbaugh has elevated them from a level from being. I don't know. Underwhelming is maybe the word I would look for, where we picked them a lot of years with Brandon Staley going in. He only made the playoffs one time, and they blew a 27-point lead in the playoff game that they were in. And so you've gotten to the point where you've won 11 games in each of the last 2 years. You've been a team that's been – like, overcoming two tackle injuries and the worst center in the NFL is not an easy thing to do.
I don't
And they overcame
that.
It, right? And you go to the – but then the season ends the way that it ends.
They're
microcosms of Oregon of, like, that you've done a lot of good.
Yeah.
But then I can't get the last picture out of my head. Like, Herbert can overcome it for a regular season, and he could beat Denver, and he could beat Kansas City twice, and he can win some big games throughout the course of the regular season. And then you get to the playoff time, and it's like, dude, you can't complete a pass. What is happening right now? Yeah. I don't know how to compute this in my head. And so I'm with you that there's a ton of pressure on both of them. Now, to Swag's point, they drafted a center in the second round, and maybe that ends up being a guy who can play right away. And we look back, and you're like, man, remember when we were worried about that? Ended up being okay. The rookie played okay at center. But it is just all of a sudden puts everything, it makes everything feel like it's built on that house of cards again, that now one of your offensive linemen is gone. Now you're just waiting for the news of, like, oh, there goes Slater, he's out, because I don't think he's practicing a week and a half. Joe Alt's been out there mauling people, so that's good to see.
Yeah.
But, like, you're just one more injury away from that unit being a weakness again, and it's really hard to win in the NFL when your offensive line blows.
I mean, it's next to impossible, to your point on making the playoffs. Like, I agree with that. And you have to refresh my memory on this. Were they missing key offensive linemen in that Houston playoff game?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. But I can't remember specifically.
That is as dud a performance as you could possibly have in a wild card round. And it was an embarrassment for the quarterback.
Yes.
And I would argue the head coach. They looked like they were not at all prepared for that team.
No.
And now last year, you give them a little bit of grace. I do, with the offensive line stuff and Herbert being a little banged up, and then, oh, by the way, Patriots had this miraculously great year one under Vrabel. Like,
right, they made the Super Bowl.
I'm with you in some senses of, like, it's been better and more consistent early in the first 2 years, but you're going to year three, and you've had two just fall-on-your-face playoff performances.
Zero playoff wins. Yeah.
They didn't bring Jim Harbaugh in to be a 10-11 win team and lose in wild card weekend.
No, they did not.
They came to be elevated and win the whole enchilada, if not get themselves there. And I don't know if Herbert ever will, but I push back on the idea of, like, there is pressure in pro sports. Football is a not-for-long league, right? Mm-hmm. I'll push back. He's under pressure in the sense of, like, I guess how we talk about him. He's 6'5", 6'6". He's built like
a
horse.
The narrative pressure, yeah.
Sure, but
his
that,
life is fine.
He's been living with that since he became the Oregon quarterback, right? Like, yeah. The expectations at Oregon are to win and to win at a high level. He had that. He came into the NFL.
Top six pick.
Yeah, thrusted in last minute because of a punctured lung. Like, here you go. Play in the National Football League. He exceeded the expectations that people thought about him in the draft. The pressure is always there, I guess, from a player's standpoint. But I don't think there's real, actual, measured pressure on him. I think these guys are established who are a certain size, with a certain arm strength, with a certain understanding and IQ, and he may not have won a playoff game yet or will this year. You're not punting on that. How do you get better than that? Like, there's only so many guys that exist. Is Lenore Sellers going to be better than Justin Herbert? Is Arch Manning going to be better than Herbert? If you can't clearly define or say, yes, I think that, how many exist? You're not going to get rid of him. So to me, the pressure's on Harbaugh. And I think what you saw is a guy devastated that, like, I'm dealing with the same damn problem I dealt with last year, and it's hard to overcome it. And by the way,
here we go again.
Denver might be, not from a record standpoint, might be just as good, but maybe they fall a couple games back just because, you know, one score luck that they had. The Chiefs, I think, are going to be a little more improved than they ended up being last year. Maybe the Raiders are more feisty. It's division stuff, right? Even the worst teams can push the best teams in divisions. So I think all of the pressure is on Harbaugh because so far it's not been quite the bump we thought be with the Chargers.
If I give you $25 and told you to gamble on the Chargers winning or not winning a playoff game, what side do you put it on?
I would put it on them winning a playoff game.
This year?
I also bet on them to win the division last year. So
they came close, to be fair.
I think I'm still like what I'm disappointed in aside from the injuries on the offensive line, Dirt, you have to care about targets and weapons, and I don't know, man. I'm just not overly impressed with his options. And I'm not trying to out Herbert there, but you have to look at the whole thing.
If you look at wide receiver cores of contending teams in the NFL, which they are in that category.
Yes. Denver absolutely showed you we care.
It's hard to find a team who has a worse receiving core, target core, from a contender standpoint. Like, don't give me the Miami Dolphins. That's
are the
fine.
Chiefs a contender for you this year?
Yeah, the Chiefs would be in this category for me.
I think
me.
They're in the category.
For sure. You got fat Travis Kelce and a bunch of guys who keep getting in trouble or injured at wide receiver. Like that. And what is Mahomes, what has happened to them the last year?
Their passing game has
it's
gone
cratered.
Down.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that funny how it works? You don't have Tyreek Hill to throw the ball to anymore, right?
Exactly. Like,
so I'm with you there. I would bet on them winning a playoff game, but I'm also incredibly biased on that. I did pick them to get to the Super Bowl this year, so don't listen to me on that one.
I got to ask, because you look around the league right now and it's just an interesting landscape, I think, of coaching. You got McDonald winning the Super Bowl, year two. You've got Ben Johnson doing what he did year one Chicago.
Hot up and comer.
You know, and Harbaugh's not a spring chicken, man.
No, he's not.
Like, I know he feels like he's still got it and he's the top, and I totally understand that. He might prove it this year.
How old is Jim Harbaugh?
You kind of have to wonder a little bit, like,
when, 62.
Yeah. He's been around for a while.
Yeah, he has.
It's just interesting to think about football and the way it's evolved just in our lifetime. The young O'Connell in Minnesota. You got all these younger coaches, LaFleur, Green Bay. But his division is kind of the pseudo Sans Pete Carroll. It's Peyton,
hard to win,
Andy
man.
Reid, Harbaugh, hard to win. Yeah. All old vet guys that have proven they can win and win at an elite level.
Yeah.
Where does he shake out in that conversation? And you look around the landscape of the league with getting young coaches. It's just a very interesting conversation and thing to think about of, does Jim Harbaugh still have it?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I would say my argument for the yes category would be you spent 2 years laying a foundation. Now it's time to go see what you can build. Now it's time to go see how far you can go. Now the criticism would be you should have done that last year, and I picked them to win that playoff game. But like, hey, 2 years, 11 wins, that's great. That's a good foundation to build the offensive line. You spent time drafting those guys. Now you got to get them to stay healthy. Your defense has been solid. You took a running back in the first round who played like four snaps last year. Now it's time to see it all come together and go on a run.
Well, what I would add to is like the one thing that I liked is he was willing to finally pivot off his boy. And that was, you know, it's a debatable thing.
That
to
is a
in.
Huge, huge point.
Greg Roman was a thing for him. And as soon as he got the gig, I'm like, he's going to hire Greg Roman. Like, I saw it in San Francisco.
Yes.
They are best friends. And he made the decision to pivot. What I'd also like to highlight is something I said earlier, and I don't think we should overlook this. The impact of a new offensive mind, by the way, another young coach that had success and it fizzled because of injuries and quarterback play, McDaniel, highly thought of. We'll see what he's got in store for them and how much better their offense can be. But I'm not kidding. Look at the Tua stuff. He was able to, like, that was functional and elite and good.
Yes.
And Stefanski's highly regarded for a lot of people as an offensive mind. They're not lacking in key weapons.
No, they got targets in Atlanta. You got a good running back.
Look, it's preseason. That crap has looked awful.
Awful.
Awful. So we'll see what the impact of a new OC is going to be for Herbert.
Yeah, Tyler Biotis down. We don't know for how long yet. It does not look good, and some indications are that he will be out for the entire season. He was their move at center.
Looks like Herbert is going to start tonight. Don't know how long he's going to play.
So yeah, Herbert and Purdy.
Dude. Herbert and Purdy. That's going awesome. At it. You see the Harbaugh stuff on Purdy, by the way, their joint practices.
I saw him talk about the roster. I didn't see the Purdy stuff.
He had it. Somebody asked him his thoughts on Brock Purdy. He was like, first off, hope I meet him. Just respect him. Love the player he is. He was
did you see Sam Darnold meet Harbaugh in the offseason?
Historian Hard Knocks about it. He was like, hey, looking good.
Looking good.
Looking good. I mean.
That's my guy.
A quick question here. Do we agree with the coach? Because this is from another contender, I would argue, in the NFL who didn't quite live up to the expectations last year. A quote from a coach, quote, our window is not closed. It's not closed. That's the whole reason why we did this. We fell short last year. We needed to get into the playoffs. Now it's about the matchups, whether you're playing, where you're playing and who you're playing. Continued. We want to be able to do that every year. Sometimes I'm just saying what happens is you want to go all in for one player. Well, how do you do that one play when that one player gets hurt? The window is not closed, according to Dan Campbell in Detroit. Talk about tough divisions. The NFC West gets a lot of consideration. The AFC West gets a lot of consideration. The NFC North is right there with everybody being solid. Is the window closed in Detroit?
No.
Yeah.
There are aspects of certain teams that I argue this, and I'll say, yeah, I kind of lean that it's – but I don't fully ever close windows in the National Football League because just as quickly as it closes
– it opens again.
On Russell Wilson, Nate Hackett, and Sean Payton year one,
yeah,
it opens right back up with Bo Nix revamping the defense a little bit more and then adding a weapon or two. Like, you're just right there. So a couple moves can swing you a long ways.
The Lions, I believe, are the favorite in the division by almost every sports book.
That's fine. And you can bet the Lions, Vikings, Packers, or Bears, and I'm not going to go, what a ridiculous pick.
I tell you, bet I made while you were out.
9-8 last year. That was a hard division, man. In their division, they were 2-4. Two teams were 4-2. The Bears, by the way, were 2-4 in their division. So,
yes, they were.
And they won the whole enchilada. So yeah, it's a tough division, there's no doubt. No, their window's not closed.
I bet on the Vikings while you were out.
Kyler Murray, I get it.
The bump. New, fresh face. Yeah. They were 9-8. I think their
defense is still going to be super elite.
Right.
With
Flores.
Flores, thank you, Brian Flores.
Their quarterback numbers last year combined between the guys who took a snap for them, 18 touchdowns and 21 picks.
Yeah, and they were 9-8.
They were 9-8 completion percent. And by the way, one of the touchdowns was a pass from Cam Akers, so it was a trick play. So 17 touchdowns and 21 picks from quarterbacks with a 60% completion percentage, and they were 9-8 last season.
I just looked
like
up.
Can Kyler Murray just be 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 10 picks? And if you could do that, sky's the limit on how far. They're like plus 550, I think I got them at, or plus 525, somewhere in that range to win the North. They were relatively competitive last year with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. So that was my flyer bet I took while you were out. Because they officially named them the starter.
I'd really like to see, yeah, and I loved, by the way, like the worst kept secret in the entire
league. The biggest non-competition competition we've ever had in the NFL.
Well, have you seen that there's a lot of rumblings out of that camp that he's not even second.
That J.J. might not even be the backup.
That he might be third.
Who's the other guy? Do they still have Brosmer on the roster? Or no, is it Wentz? Is Wentz still there?
Yeah, I think it's Wentz.
Oh, Carson Wentz.
So, I don't know. The whole thing is very interesting. I'm trying to look up the Vikings one score records last year, because that's another part of the NFL that people need to look at. Turnover luck and one score luck.
Huge, dude.
It's not meant to diminish winning one score games. It's just meant to point, like, I think Denver literally was 1-8 2 years ago, and then they were 14-3 last year, and I think they won like 10 plus games in one score games.
Let's see, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3. Yeah, they were a little over, slightly over 500 in one score games.
Yeah, so maybe that changes in a good way or bad. We kind of have to wait and see. But that's also another element of this is sometimes you're terrible in those one score games, and sometimes you capitalize in those one score games.
Remember I will never forget the opening game of the year for them. That was one of our first slate of spraying the line of the year. They played in Chicago, and I hammered Chicago because J.J. McCarthy was the starting quarterback.
Oh, that's right.
They were down 24 to nothing or whatever it was and scored 21 points in the fourth quarter.
And they came back.
McCarthy threw for like 115 yards, and everybody's like, this is why you started. He's a winner. Niner. Now he might be third string. Let's stick in the NFL. Some other odds and ends. We got extensions. We got players getting signed. Some more notes from the National Football League and camp notes next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in, 8:30 on your Thursday morning. We got the Magic Hat coming up top of the hour. I got 5 submissions. I got them all written up. I got to throw them in the hat in the next commercial break. We'll get ready to go.
You got 5?
I got 5 today. We probably won't get to all of them. That's okay. But I have 5 submissions today.
Okay.
I have a college football thing in the notes for at some point. If we need to hold it for tomorrow, we can because we're in the midst of talking some National Football League. What do we make of Sal Palantonio yesterday saying a joint Eagles and Patriots practice?
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, clearly the best weapon on the field. I did chuckle. I didn't know that they had that plan. And then I'm watching the NFL Network yesterday afternoon. I'm like, that's kind of funny that it's the Eagles versus the Pats in a joint practice.
Well, it's a preseason thing, right?
Yeah,
they're gearing
playing
up for
each
the
other.
Preseason. He says, by the way, he's going to talk to Jalen Hurts before they leave camp. They
still haven't
communicated.
No bad blood is what he's saying.
Very odd. Whatever your thinking or thought is on being a godparent of a child, very odd to have a godparent be somebody you hate.
Is he the godparent of his kids?
Jalen Hurts, I believe, is the godfather of A.J. Brown's daughter.
That's a little complicated.
Well, they were really good friends.
They were,
I don't
yeah.
know. We still don't know what transpired. That's not just we lost a football game and I didn't get the ball. Something happened.
Yeah, there might be something behind the scenes. I also think there's an element of that's not a dynamic passing attack.
Oh, the reports AJ Brown are not good right now for Hurts. They said yesterday he threw 3 interceptions and Mannion's been visibly frustrated because he can't pass in the middle.
We talked about it while you were out. Their social media team put out a video of him getting picked off at practice.
Was it the POV camera one?
No, it was a different one, but it was trying to highlight one of their DBs making a nice play, but everybody noted you're also showing a highlight of your quarterback, and that's a very rare thing where maybe there's a different to the POV point of, like, just show the corner making a play on the ball and don't show a quarterback through it. But to me, it stems from A.J. Brown is an alpha who wants the football.
Yep.
He wants to be a big-time part of the offense. And even when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, their passing offense sucked.
I know, but he had 1,000 yards.
He did, but in the NFL now...
He's had 1,000 yards in 7 of his 8 seasons as an NFL player.
Give me more.
I get it. That position lends itself to crazy and give me more. I totally understand that.
Do we still respect 1,000 yards the way we used to in the NFL?
I don't think it feels or resonates the same, but it still needs to be noted. 1,000 yards is not nothing.
Yeah, it's something.
You stretch the field, you were a threat. Like, yeah, it's not the same feeling as it once was.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, how many players had 1,000 yards receiving last year?
That is a great question. What is your guess?
Because this was similar to what we said with running, right? Like, is running over 1,000 yards still impressive?
Right, because you have an extra game now in the regular season. There's so many, all right, what is your guess on 1,000-yard receivers last year?
I'm really upset I don't remember this because I've looked it up like 5 times.
I have the number.
12.
You're going to say 12 players with 1,000 yards, okay?
Yeah.
What were there more of, 1,000-yard receivers or 1,000-yard rushers?
Oh, receivers.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull them both up. The answer for receivers is 20.
Yeah, it was a lot. I just couldn't remember the exact number.
Let's see, rushing yards.
I don't think there was 20 guys with 1,000 on the ground.
Oh, it's close.
Is it really close?
17.
Okay.
17
That's a
guys.
A lot closer than I thought it was. I thought it was like 9.
There are names in here that you're just like, yeah, okay. Chase Brown had 1,000 rushing yards last year. He was the last on the list, just over 1,000. Genty was 975. He was one break away from making it 18 guys.
God, and he had a down year at 975.
Right. We didn't even think he was good. The lowest receiver on the 1,000-yard list was Alec Pierce. Actually, him and A.J. Brown were technically tied, just over 1,000 yards. I think the point being that in 15 games, that's an average of 66 yards. There's a lot of guys who played the full season and they averaged under 60 receiving yards a game, and that's good enough for 1,000 yards because you played the entire
JSN
season.
Like, JSN got you 105 and a half. Puka got you 107.
Like, those are that's
elite.
I almost feel like the new benchmark number has become for elite 1,500 yards. Like, if you're over that threshold, you're in rarefied. Maybe that's too high.
That's maybe too high. Because you had Chase at 14-12. You had Pickens at 14-29.
And remember, Chase did that without Joe Burrow for half the season, too.
St. Brown had 14-01. Like, I think we need to set it a little lower than what you're saying, because that's a pretty high number. But I'm with you in saying 1,000 yards, it doesn't hit the same.
No.
Maybe set it at 13 or higher?
Yeah,
1250, 13 or higher. Yeah.
Over-under is your breaking point there.
Yeah, because if you did that, then you're looking at legitimately
the best receivers
five,
in the league.
Five players.
Right. I don't put Alec Pearson in elite wide receiver. No offense, he's not in that same elite wide receiver category for me.
Well, don't forget Chris Olave. Nobody can ever forget Chris Olave. He's got over 1,163 yards.
Right. Considering the quarterback situation, that's pretty impressive. All these deserve context. Vita Vea will not be playing for a West Coast team. He is going to stay on the East Coast, and he was given the one-year extension to end his hold-in.
Yeah, I was bummed by this.
I know. The Charger fans, Niner fans, Rams fans, like anybody was a fan. The Raiders, I think, were one of the teams included. We're like, dude, we'd love Vita Vea on our team. And then the Bucs said, no, he's a part of our long-term plan here. I do wonder how Baker Mayfield viewed that. Happy for his guy getting paid, but he still wants his extension.
Well, he's happy because he now has the chip on the shoulder, and nobody's picking him.
Nobody's giving him a chance this year. Yeah. They are the odds-on favorite to win the NFC South. But Vita Vea, not available anymore. That was news yesterday. What else we got in the NFL? I did chuckle at this one. I figured you'd want to opine on it because we talked a lot about him coming into the draft, I should say. And it was an underwhelming, to be fair, rookie year. Did you see what side of the ball Travis Hunter is mainly playing at in practice?
Defense?
Yep.
Wait a minute. I thought he was going to continue to be 50-50 split the entire game for 17 games. I was told that was possible.
And he could possibly return kicks and...
Yeah, I thought, you know, he's going to do exactly in the NFL what he did in college because, you know, we've never seen it, but we'll finally see it now.
They traded a future one for Travis Hunter, and I don't know what he's going to be, but...
I'm okay with it if you think he's legitimately the best on defense at DB. You believe in him. I questioned the trade-up. I don't think he was worth a trade-up, in my opinion. I'm not an NFL general manager. That's a 30-year-old dude running that team.
Yes, it is. Looks like he's 12.
Did you see Liam Cohen's comments, by the way, not to sidebar away from Hunter?
No, I did not.
I hope Hunter's good. I like Hunter.
Just to the point, he's playing it almost, reporters are saying almost exclusively on defense.
It's just ridiculous.
And returning kicks.
Yeah,
so the idea of him doing both is, it took 1 year, he
it's
got
idiotic.
Hurt. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore.
They'll sprinkle him in here and there on offense. He's largely going to play one side. It was always going to be that way. Cohen took a fun little rib at Ben Johnson.
Ooh.
Because, you know, by the way, he's not wrong in pointing out, like, how many Jags conversations have we had? This might be the first.
They're irrelevant.
They kind of
even though they were in the playoffs, they're still irrelevant because they're the Jags.
They were one
don't
of the big stories.
Don't play 25% of your home schedule overseas.
Well, also, don't have a team in Jacksonville is what I would say to that. He was doing an interview and he said, yeah, you know, it's great. You know, nobody's talking about us. I go to NFL.com and I see 40 videos of Caleb Williams and 30 videos of Ben Johnson.
That's solid.
He actually named him out loud. Yeah. Ben Johnson was asked. He's like, whatever.
Well, nobody's picking us either. Well, yeah, no, I think you are. You said you want to be the best offense of all time.
Tis the season of nobody's picking us. From fans to players, everybody has to say it.
Other than the Cowboys.
By the way.
The Cowboys are just telling you we're winning the Super Bowl.
I didn't notice this happened until... I saw this on Good Morning Football earlier today over the corner of your shoulder during one of our great rants so far this morning.
They're chirping. Oh, yeah.
Did we also see what shirt Dak Prescott wore to fly to training camp?
Oh, I didn't see that.
No.
He wore...
MVP?
It's not.
Actually, it'd be really funny if he did.
He found a vintage shirt of their last Super Bowl. It was, you know, and it said Super Bowl champions, and it had the Cowboy
95.
Logo.
Steelers, yeah.
And he was asked about it, and he was like, yeah, I'm not shying away from it. We know what the expectations are. He said, I've had this in my closet for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to wear it, but I never thought, nah, people are going to react if I wear this. And I thought, what the hell? I'm not shying away from the expectations.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you have
to lean
into
it. I'd rather them just not be coy about it the way...
It's clearly a team that should be contending. You don't look at that roster and go, that's 3 years away. If you're a Cowboy fan, you are going in, as much as you may dislike Jerry Jones and how crazy he is, you are going in with the thought of, we should be a legitimate Super Bowl contender this year.
They are raving about Caleb Downs in camp. I think the idea of the Parsons trade, I know I heard Patrick talk about this yesterday when I was driving home, like, it's aged pretty well for them, to be fair. To get three defensive linemen for the price of one,
I still think it's a it's a kind of wait and see.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
He was a pretty big impact when he went to Green Bay.
I can't remember the cat that they... Oh, there's no doubt. It's not a thing against Parsons being a good player. It's just the idea, would you rather have, what is it, Kenny Clark, who's the cat they drafted? I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they took a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Quinnen Williams.
Would you rather have... They just extended.
Yeah. So would you have that collection of guys?
Very fair to ask, yeah.
Or, you know, so like he's kind of rounding the bases and high-stepping a little bit, which I don't know if I would do if I were Jerry Jones. Like, let's win a playoff game.
Yeah.
But I do think to a certain extent that was a controversial trade that they have turned into positive results because their defense has been
ass.
It wasn't
the disaster that it appeared to be when it went down.
No, that's a fair way
to put it. But I think it's fair to also say, like, the one thing I've given them credit for is their ability to identify talent's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't miss a whole lot. The problem to me is not Dak. It's not as elite. It's, you know, it's none of that. The problem is just like, how many years have they chose to waste coaching on? How many years did it take to fire Jason Garrett when it was clear as day he was, the clapper? And look, Mike McCarthy is a good coach. He deserves the respect of saying good coach. Mike McCarthy? And then he lied about what he did in his 1 year off, and then and I'm not saying Brian Schottenheimer.
Are they doing the same thing now?
It kind of, it feels that way. It's like, dude, you're the Cowboys. You can literally go by any coach in football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If Jerry Jones flew to Eugene and said, Dan Lanning, here's 15 a year, Dan Lanning,
you shut your ugly mouth.
Hey, right. Kids, get ready to learn Texan. Right.
By the way,
he can get anybody he wants.
By the way, Jags at Bears.
We spend to win.
December 6th.
Jags, we get a Cohen
Jags
Johnson
at
game.
Bears.
Well,
December
I think they're
6th.
Friends is why he took that rib, and he's not wrong. It is a lot of Caleb propaganda out right now.
Yeah,
and I don't really know how to feel about the Jags. It sounds like their defense has been awesome,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are buying in on the revamped Trevor Lawrence with Liam Cohen.
2.0.
And Liam Cohen got him some swag, man. He almost fought Rob Saleh last year after a game.
You were not wrong there.
Jags don't need a big conversation, but should be noted, like, they had a great year and barely anybody's talking about them.
I'm going to kick the college football stuff to the show plans for tomorrow. Are we sleeping on this team, this quarterback? We'll get to that segment tomorrow. Let's stick in the NFL because we've got some signings we haven't even talked about yet. Some other movement and some other camp notes, injury notes as well. Our NFL Hour continues. Magic Hat, top of the hour, back after this on The Fam. All right, your NFL Hour continues. Good morning, everybody. We'll get to the Magic Hat coming up at top of the hour.
Tua Tagovailoa.
He sucks.
Did you see the latest tease for the John Madden movie starring my boy Nick Cage as John Madden?
When is that coming out?
I don't know the date, actually.
Okay.
Is
it going to be theaters or is it a streamer?
Great question.
Do we respect movies that go straight to streamers?
I mean, some of the biggest movie stars in the world are on straight streamers now.
It's not
movies
the stigma
that go straight to streamers.
Chris Hemsworth has a bunch of movies. Ryan Reynolds is doing a bunch
of
movies.
Oh, it's not a star thing. I'm saying do you think it's going to be a good movie if it doesn't come out in the theaters?
Not as much anymore.
Yeah. I think largely that's becoming the norm, is it not? Theaters are shutting down.
Netflix,
movies,
HBO.
Really? That's the norm? I mean, I'm out of the movie culture.
Big
time movies all still come out in the theaters, don't they?
No.
Chris Nolan movies do, but there's a lot of movies that they're either in theaters for a week or two and then they're gone, or they're going straight to Apple or Prime or Netflix or wherever.
Yeah, I'm out of the movie culture. I was excited that a new season of Tires came out last week. That was nice. And I've been enjoying Ted Lasso, 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
Season 4? 3?
Actually, I have enjoyed the new Ted Lasso. I know everybody was weary of it, and obviously they got paid to make it, but
I don't care, dude.
It's been good.
Give me more Ted Lasso in my life. I'm not going to be upset about that.
Same.
Move that happened yesterday, for whatever reason, just if you're a corner and you've had a bit of a rough last couple of years, come on down to Seattle right now. Trevon Diggs was the latest one. He signed a 1-year deal with the Seahawks. Schefter reported that. Yesterday, they clearly feel like they need a little bit of help in depth defensively at the corner spot. Terrion Arnold, we don't know when he's going to be available. The commissioner's exempt list, like all of that is still kind of hanging up in the air. And will he be able to play at all this year is still up in the air because we've got to wait and see how the court proceedings go. So they added another layer of insurance and a guy who has been a little banged up and had moments in his career. But Trevon Diggs added to the Seattle Seahawks on a 1-year deal.
By the way, November 18th on Prime Video.
Okay.
Nick Cage starring as John Madden.
Do we think it's going to be good?
Alongside Christian Bale as Al Davis.
Yes, I knew that he was playing Al Davis. I remember that. I think Shane Gillis is in the movie too.
Shane Gillis is in the movie.
I don't know what he plays, but I heard saw an interview of him talking about it, so I know he's in it as well.
Yeah, so that's a straight to stream thing. Yeah, I saw it here. Gillis, yeah, set to be on. I don't know what he's going to be.
Is he like an offensive lineman or something?
Is he Pat Summerall? Is somebody going to try to play?
He's too big.
Isn't it just the coaching Madden doc? Like,
or is it his whole?
Is it a biopic?
I don't know.
Biopic,
same thing. I've heard it both ways. I don't know if there is one defined thing. I would think he'd be Howie Long.
Ooh, that's not a bad guess.
He's a big dude. He's not tiny. Yeah.
He played college football.
I know Summerall was a punter, but like he wasn't very big next to John Madden.
No, I just didn't know if it then went into his broadcasting career or if it was all about him coaching the Raiders.
They need somebody of a certain age. You might be able to try out for that role.
He is not playing an actual person.
I don't know if I could do Pat Summerall pipes.
Pipes? You think those are pipes?
Are you poo-pooing Pat Summerall's pipes?
I don't think it's pipes.
Is it a poo-poo of the pipes?
No, I think he just had a very interesting delivery.
Yeah.
You guys have him as with pipes?
Yeah.
I think good pipes. If I think of Pat Summerall,
What's the most enthusiastic touchdown call he's ever made?
That was never his strength.
No, it wasn't.
That was never
touchdown, his Eagle.
Especially late in his years. That was,
understated.
And I love me some Summerall.
No, he was understated and let Madden do Madden.
Boom!
The pipes to me is like Joe Buck. Mike Tirico in a big play. Mike Breen.
No.
Bang. Those are pipes.
I think of like a golden voice.
A golden voice. That's
a
great
And
way
I would
of
argue
it.
That Pat Summerall had that.
Yeah. Vin Scully, Pat Summerall. These are golden voices, not pipes.
Not pipes. Those are different.
Not pipes.
Those are different.
Those are different categories.
Gillis, by the way, is playing not a real person. He's just a made up character in the movie. As I search what character he's
awesome.
Playing. A non historical. But Rudy's the only sports movie that ever made anything up. So let's, you know, throw that one aside. Anyways, Trevon Diggs.
Remember
is in
the
Seattle.
Titans, too. RIP Hayden Panettiere.
Dude, yeah, I didn't talk about that in the start
it's
of the
starting
week.
Starting to smell a little fishy, dude.
Very fishy.
Boyfriend wasn't allowed in the apartment. Last seen with the boyfriend coming into the apartment.
Substance.
DEA
issues.
Is now involved. It's tricky.
That character from Remember the Titans is an all-time classic. All-time classic.
Wait, which one?
The daughter, the other girl talking about stuff. Would you shut up? Like, it's just, it's an all-time.
Well, I thought you were talking about fake stories and almost that entire movie.
Oh, is a made-up fake story, but we don't care. It is because
it's real, but it's not
everywhere
real.
We go, people want to know who we are, who we are. I mean, it's just, But Rudy, God forbid, the guy who actually played at Notre Dame, you know.
Sidebar. Saw high school video. Can't remember the state. It was a big tractor trailer truck, like a Dodge Ram dually type truck, rolled up on the track of the high school in front of the stands, hauling a pig trailer. All of a sudden, it parks, it stops. The trailer starts rocking back and forth. The coach opens it, releases his offensive line hogs.
Yes!
And I thought,
that's how you do it.
We have gone way too far as a society for high school sports.
No, we have not.
This is insane.
No, we have not. I have something in my notes I didn't talk about
while
you're out.
What are we doing here? You guys are mad about participation trophies, and then you're bringing children out in trailers to highlight how fat they are and that they're going to block for you. What is wrong with people?
Let's go hot. Do we still have the shout out the Hoggies drop? I don't know where that one went. It's
shout out the Hoggies.
Thank you.
The Hoggies are important. A whole production to have offensive linemen come out? Come on, man.
Is that worse than a story that's been in my notes all week I haven't talked about yet, where there is a Kentucky under-7 travel baseball team who hosted a signing ceremony for their players? Like, think of a commitment, like you have the balloons and you're at a table and there's hats out there and you're putting the hat on and everybody cheers. They did that for a 7-under youth travel baseball team for the commitments of their kids.
Well,
and somebody tweeted and said,
that's a ridiculously young age. Somebody, what are you doing?
The tweet that made it go viral was somebody saying, we need
actually write legibly at that point.
I mean, I hope it's 7, you can, but I don't know, maybe not. Somebody said, we need a derogatory term for these people. And that made the entire thing go viral.
I remember when we went to it, because it used to be called minors and then majors. And back in the day when Burnside Field still existed,
shout out Burnside Field,
Park Rose had, they called it a draft. And at this point, in the minors, because I was an all-star in the minors, we knew who the good and bad teams were in the majors.
Yes, you knew who you, yeah.
And so just at one pivotal spot, I can't remember when it was, my mom just got like a phone call, and the league would call the parent and tell him, hey, so-and-so team drafted, you're on this team. And it was all these corporation companies, right?
Reliable Credit Union.
Yeah,
is your,
yeah. Miller Paint.
Yeah.
Rose City Auto, right? And I remember my mom got the call and I said, who picked me?
Who's the team?
And she goes, Old Country Kitchen. And I go, Old Country Kitchen didn't win a game last year.
Uh-oh.
That means I was a high pick.
Yeah.
And then I got into the league and I talked to somebody on one of the better teams and I go, hey, I was one of the first picks. And they go, no, you weren't.
Doesn't work like that.
They picked you at the back end.
Yeah.
All the good teams got the best
exactly.
players.
And were, I looked at it. You were what was left over.
And I started looking at the rosters and went, oh, God, that's why they're stacked.
Oh,
and they're
no.
stacked.
Oh, no.
And we were terrible.
I wasn't the number one overall pick. Old Country Kitchen.
Old Country
smoked.
Kitchen and Round Table Pizza were
Little
the worst
teams,
dude. Just absolute bottom feeders of the Park Rose Major League system.
Bring them out. Bring the hogs out, baby. It's almost football season. That will wrap up your 1 hour.
Diggs is a it's a signing of a player that can play now because they're waiting on Terry
right,
Arnold. That's what that is.
They needed another body. CB3 up in the air for Seattle. Let's start the final hour as we always do on a Thursday with the Magic Hat. We got two preseason games tonight. We'll tell you who's in, who's out, things to look for. I'm excited to watch both of them, or at least bits and pieces of both of them. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.